of it, and for my part, I'll keep trying. Amen.
Thank you very much. It was good to sit still and listen and worship. It is good to be in church today. Are you going to sit there the whole time?
Can we move out there?
Would you?
Yes.
I hate somebody standing behind me. I'm like the mafia. I don't like anybody behind me. I really want to thank you for the freshness that was brought to this service because of you, Paul, and I would like to have a copy of that prayer for healing. Appreciated it very much. It was, but those, I'm just going to ask nothing more but one thing. If you're a visitor this morning, will you raise your hand? Just. Okay. I gotta see. I gotta be nice to you today. You're here and we need you if you come back again. And besides that, I don't have to worry about your names. I am going to buy what I read in a magazine about 2 or 3 months ago, that a company is coming out with eyeglasses that will tell the name of the person that you're talking to. I am getting that for Christmas, no matter what. That would be a blessing. But they better be right, see. Sue, it was nice to see you today. And I don't blame you one bit. You never know what's going to happen in a day. You get surprised every once in a while. And not long ago, about a week ago, I read in Christianity Today an article by Rick Warren, a pastor at Saddleback Church in California. And he's writing a book, updating it now for the younger generation, The Purpose-Driven Life. Copy sold millions in a few years ago. And in that church that he has, he only has 32,000 in small group Bible studies. 32,000, more than people live in Door County. It was fun to read that. Then I happened to see a fellow by the name, I think his name was Jim Bethke, but I don't know for sure. But he was talking about Jesus in such a fresh way. I mean, it was just fabulous. And I thought, and he works out of in Tacoma and Seattle, Washington. And he either said something or sung something, I don't know which, but it has had 22 million hits on the internet. Can you even just think of it? And then last Sunday evening, having the privilege to look at the last of the 5 sessions of the Bible on television. And that whole 2 hours given over to the crucifixion of Jesus and to the spread of the resurrection and the spread of the gospel. And the crucifixion was difficult to watch. But what would we expect the crucifixion to be? And all I could say as I was sitting there, you did it for me. You did it for me, Jesus. And then I think about truth. And I just can't figure us out in our country. You don't know who to believe and who not to believe. You don't know who's telling the truth and who isn't. I really can't imagine why anybody would write or say something that they knew was a lie and deliberately trying to lead us down their particular way, even if it's a lie. I can't understand it. Mostly, I suppose, because if I'd ever told a lie, my mother would see to it that there would be results coming soon. The little stick that was this long and this wide and this thick above the stove, the old kitchen stove, that she would just walk over and pick it up and then say, hold out your hand. And oh, did it hurt. Sure. Not so much the feeling of the stick on my skin as much as that I'd done wrong. Don't tell lies, Delmer. I like my Bible. It is a very important book to me. I studied about it and from it for 3 years in seminary. And that Bible has, it's so special to me. And when I hear the criticism of it, and certainly people have a right to their thinking and their criticizing, I don't worry about that. But I wonder sometimes when they're criticizing, have you ever read it? And I like especially the Gospels and Philippians and James and 1 John and 1 Peter. And then if I go to the Old Testament, I like Genesis and Psalms and Proverbs and Isaiah and Amos and Malachi. They are special books within that great book. I have some questions in my mind. They come to me from time to time. What if I die? I'll talk about that later. Still today, but what if I die? What if sickness and or trouble come to me? What do I do when I face temptation? Since I live at Scandia Village, in the independent living department, go down the hall, take a left, and you're at the Alzheimer's unit. Go straight ahead, you're at your care center. Take a right, and you're at assisted living. I've lived there now, coming up on 15 years. I have seen lots of people go from independent living to one of those places. I have been chaplain there three different times. It was the same as Brett Favre, you know. Well, he wasn't chaplain, but he came back three times. He got $16 million the third time he came back. They were a little short on mine. But I have been with many people who gradually lost their thinking ability. It is not easy, but I'm glad we have a good place to care for people at all ages and things which happen to us. And we have those care centers. The last thing in this lengthy introduction is the number of people who are persecuted in our world today. 80,000 Christians in North Korea are in prison for one reason, their faith. They believe in Jesus, and 80,000 of them are in prison. Think of the people in the world today who are sitting in church wondering if they are going to be attacked or their church burned today. Think of the many brothers and sisters in Christ in heavy persecution. Well, those were some of the things on my heart this week as I was looking at the message that really started in 1950 when I was walking down a street in the southern part of the business district of Minneapolis. And I saw this church sign, and on the sign were the words, "To sinners who accept him, Christ Jesus gives life abundantly." And I said, I like that verse. He gives life to the full. John 10:10b. I am come that you may have life and have it to the full. When I think about that for the last, it's about 50, 65 years nearly. What goes into it? My life with Christ. The promise that he made that he would have give me life to the full. Well, there is my relationship with Christ. And that relationship, if you have a bulletin, it's on the insert. But that relationship to Christ, to me, has many things, but three that was read, the last verse of 1 Corinthians 13. There is faith, hope, and love. And so in that matter of my faith in Christ, my trust in him, I believe him. In Romans, the 10th chapter, at the 9th and 10th verses, the basis of this faith, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.